We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Wednesday morning to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh radio broadcast and spending a little bit of your morning with me, Bob Arthurs, pastor of Merritt Assembly of God. We want to thank you. And, I apologize. I've been negligent in saying this for about a week now, but so long, summer. Hallelujah. Is anybody thankful that fall is at hand? And that means that cooler temperatures are right around the corner. I know last week I walked out, and now please understand, it's still been very, very warm. Very, very warm. I'm not minimizing how warm it's been at all. But I walked out, and I was in a shady spot, and I was like, you know what? That feels like spring. And it gave me just a little bit of hope that the heat wave is coming to an end and that the electric bill is going to be a little more affordable. So we want to invite you to come out and be a part of our Wednesday night services tonight. Our kids ministry starts at 6:30. Our adult service starts at 7. We have a little bit of a buffer in there so the kids can all get to their class and our worship team can come in and get set up and practice. And they both get over about 7:45. Our adult service involves prayer. It involves Bible study. It involves worship. And we are going through Psalm 91 right now, so we encourage you to come and be a part of that if you are so inclined. 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida, 32953. 32953. We want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solutions, 759-3284. Bill Andriak, been in Brevard County a long, long time, and he has blessed a lot of people here in the county by keeping them cool when they could have lost their cool. When I was at the military clergy day at Patrick Air Force Base here back in, I think it was the latter part of August, and one of the things that one of the speakers said that day was, we need to be our best when other people we need to be having our best day when other people are having their worst day. And I pray that today you will be having the best day that you could have. There's somebody around you today that needs to see the life of God, the joy of the Lord shining through you. And I pray that you will just have a tremendous, tremendous impact for the King. So we're going to take you back to Isaiah chapter 41 today. We're going to go down to verse number 14. I'm just going to read verses 14. And let's see, how far are we going to read? We will read down to verse 16. Isaiah 41, verse 14 through 16. Fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. I will help you, says the Lord, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. You shall thresh the mountains and beat them small and make the hills like chaff. You shall winnow them. The wind shall carry them away and the whirlwind shall scatter them. You shall rejoice in the Lord and glory in the Holy One of Israel. So I'm going to try and finish this up today and wrap up some loose ends from yesterday's broadcast. And so what I want to say to you is focus, you know, the God says, he describes Jacob as a worm. Worms, you know, really are not all that powerful. They're not going to be able to overcome these tremendously large and powerful enemies that come along. And God wants to make sure that there's no mistake. He says, I fear not, you worm Jacob, you men of Israel. He wants to know. He wants them to know. He's talking about them. We are helpless apart from God. And he says, I will help you. I will help you. And that's where our strength, our reassurance comes from, our hope, our confidence. And he says, and your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. And then there's an interesting statement, and this is where I wanted to spend just a few minutes before we move on to another part of Isaiah chapter 41. He says, behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. And I wanted to do some research on that, on the threshing sledge. But before I get to that, it says, behold, I will make you into a new threshing sledge. In other words, he's going to take them from being helpless, and he's going to cause them to be transformed into a higher purpose. And he says that it was going to impact their locale, and it was going to basically impact every level of society. I want to ask you today, what is God transforming you into? What is God transforming you into? The reason I ask is because I believe that every person God wants to transform. I don't believe you were perfect when he called you. I believe that you were in need of salvation. You were needing his purpose. You were in need of redesign. That there were things that had been distorted and contorted because of the fallen world that we live in. And God wants to take us, and it doesn't matter how skilled you were as a fisherman. God told the disciples, if you will follow me, I will make you fishers of men. He said, this is the skill that you have, but I'm going to transform you. It's going to be a similar skill, but it's going to be a much more glorious skill. It's going to, instead of just having monetary value or occupational value, it is going to have eternal value. It's not only going to change the people you come in contact with, it is going to change you as well, because heaven rejoices when sinners come to Christ, when they give their heart to the Lord and say, Lord, would you be my Lord and my Savior and my God? And you and I, we get to rejoice when that happens. So their transformation causes us to be transformed as well. I want to ask you, what is God making you into? Whenever I find someone and they says, well, this is just the way that I am, that doesn't mean that's the way that we have to remain. I am by nature, I am an introvert. And if I were to let myself, I could relapse into that very easily. Now you listen to me here on the radio as I'm talking to no physical person in the room here, just a lot of flashing lights and all of that sort of stuff. And how transparent I am with my own life, my own shortcomings, and, you know, the realities of what's going on with my family. By the way, I have the most adorable grandchild in all of Brevard County, and that's not up for debate. So I'm here, and you hear about all of the things that I share, and you would think, how in the world could he be an introvert? I want to ask you, how in the world could an introvert like me become a person who is so outgoing and not afraid really to talk to anybody about anything? It doesn't mean that I always do that, but the grace of God refused to allow me to keep my mouth shut when there were so many people who were in need of salvation. And so God has changed me. You say, well, it probably happened when you were very young. It did. I was 30, 31, right in there, maybe 32. It probably didn't really happen too much until after I became the pastor of Merit Assembly of God. And God said, this is the place I have prepared for you. And now I need to prepare you for the place. And it's been a growing process ever since. And so God wants to make you into something. And so I just want to kind of encourage you today to refuse the devil's temptation to remain complacent and just occupy the status quo. At Merit Assembly of God, we are so thankful for what God has done, but we're believing that God wants to do more, and that means that he needs to change us more. He needs to change us. He needs to make us what he wants us to be. Now, here he's transforming a bunch of worms, and it says, I'm going to transform you into a new threshing sledge with sharp teeth. And the first thing that I wrote down when I came across this passage is a threshing sledge was a tool used to process the harvest. It was used to separate the wheat and the chaff. It was designed to take that which was not edible, and it was that which was edible was separated from that, and I don't understand the process. I'll just be the first one. I can get a mental picture, but it still looks to me like there's going to have to be some serious separating that goes on a manual level down there. And it just doesn't sound all that sanitary. In fact, when I looked up in the dictionary what a threshing sledge is by design, it said it is an obsolete piece of technology. And the reason was because ancient threshing sledges used to be pulled by beasts of burden, either an oxen or a mule, something like that. And, you know, just think about them. Those animals are walking around a lot of times in circles, and they're, you know, their hooves are going right where the crop is, and there's other things that take place when animals are involved that just doesn't make it sound all that sanitary. And so man has come along and they have created more sanitary and more efficient ways of accomplishing what a threshing sledge used to be able to accomplish. So the next time you go to eat a piece of bread or toast or pie or cake or anything like that, just say, God, I want to thank you that you have improved the threshing technology in 2016. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. I do want you to know, however, that in spite of the fact that we have been blessed with all sorts of great technology, radio being one of them, the internet being one of them, sound systems being one of them, video projectors being one, televisions, the YouTube, all of that, computers, iPhones and smartphones, all of those sorts of things, none of those things effectively and efficiently replace a redeemed man of God or a redeemed woman of God. God wants you and I both to be tools of the harvest, used to go and redeem that which has been decreed by the world to be worthless, and God to come along and say, no, you're not worthless. You're the crop that the Lord of the harvest has been working to redeem. So I said on yesterday's broadcast, I would tell you a story. I've seen it actually a number of times. There's a video, and I believe the wildlife refuge in Africa is the Kruger National Wildlife Reserve, something titled similar to that. And what happened on this particular video, you can look it up on YouTube, is there's this herd of oxen, I'm going to guess is what they are. Maybe a yak. Anyway, they look like cows with funny horns on them. And the whole herd is walking, and all of a sudden they stumble upon this pride of lions, and the pride of lions begin to attack, and they end up getting this one oxen, we'll call it, separated from the flock. Now, all of this is taking place right near a body of water. And so the pride of lions attack this one oxen, and it is fighting these lions for all it is worth, and they're just overpowering and dragging this oxen, and all the rest of the oxen have separated, and they're sad because somebody's little offspring there has been caught by the enemy, but at least they're safe. And so they're keeping their safe distance, and there's like four or five lions, and they're trying to down this oxen, and in the process they begin to drag it, and they get closer and closer to the water. And all of a sudden, when you think things couldn't get any worse for the oxen, out of the water comes this huge crocodile and grabs the other end of the oxen, and it begins to try and drag it into the water. And so there's literally a tug of war going on between the oxen and the crocodile, and the rest of the herd is standing there watching this go on. And believe it or not, the lions manage to separate the oxen, which is still alive, the oxen from the crocodile, and they think, at least we've got it separated from that, and now we can go on, participating in our buffet lunch here. And so they get it separated from the crocodile, and all of a sudden, when you think that it is just a matter of time before the oxen is eaten, one of the herd that was in safety gets up the courage, and he or she goes and begins to take on the lions itself. And when that one oxen begins to take on the lions, it's not long before the other oxen have the courage and the boldness that rises up within them, and they say, we too want to be involved in this process. Remember, the oxen that was taken, that they're playing tug-of-war with and trying to kill, and they were biting and scratching and all, it's still alive. It's still struggling. And all of a sudden, you begin to see lions flying through the air as these adults begin to get involved in the process to set this one oxen free that has been captured. And pretty soon the whole herd is involved, and the lions now realize that it is more dangerous for them to try and hang on to this meal than it is for them to run away and look for more opportune delicacies. And so it went from the one oxen being trapped, in the claws of the lions, to being trapped by the crocodile and playing tug of war, to being back with the lions again. And then, because there was a transformation that took place in the herd of oxen, it ended up getting set free. Please do not limit yourself that God cannot use you for the sake of the kingdom of God. That oxen that day lived. It went, they all scurried on, and he lived. And you know what? He would have had some scars from the battle that day, but those scars would have been testimonies of healing. He was alive because somebody said, you know what? I am not just going to stay here. I'm not going to be uninvolved in the harvest anymore. I am going to go, and I'm going to see if I can rescue that person, whether I'm related to him or not. I'm going to take the good news of Jesus Christ. I'm going to give it my best. And if I perish, I perish. I want to call the saints of Brevard County today to allow God to transform us, not just into better leaders, not just into better employees, not just into better Christians, words, but into better tools of the harvest, because the Lord of the harvest said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers into the harvest field. We have got to have God transform us, because the harvest depends on it. Without the threshing process, the grain was worthless. And so I want to ask you today, what does God need to do in you? What does God need to do in me? What needs to take place that will mobilize us from our place of safety and get us actively engaged in plucking men and women from the flames of hell, as Jude says, as brands plucked from the burning, as John Wesley referred to himself after his Aldersgate experience. He said, I am a brand plucked from the burning. He literally, you know, felt like he was in the flames of hell. And on that day at the Aldersgate revival, he was plucked from his destruction. God can transform us. He really, really can. Not just so that we're better us, but so that we can be better used of him for the glory of God. Verse number 17 says, the poor and needy seek water, but there is none. Their tongues fail for thirst. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in the desolate heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar and acacia tree, the myrtle and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the cypress tree and the pine and the box tree together. And I will tell you this, if God was going to plant those things in that environment, he was going to have to change the atmosphere. It doesn't do any good to plant something in an atmosphere that's going to kill it. God literally had to transform the atmosphere. And here's what I want to say about that. Let me just read verse number 20. That they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this and the Holy One of Israel has created it. If we are going to see men and women, boys and girls, come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, maybe God needs to transform our environment to where it's not so dry. No, you know, I tell people all the time, nobody likes a dry preacher. But nobody likes a dead church either. Nobody likes to come and give their heart to Jesus where there is no evidence of life. What if we allowed God to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour out his presence into our services so that there is exaltation of the King, so that when people come in, they actually sense the presence of God. And that way, when God plants them in our church, it will be a place of growth. It'll be a place of maturing. It'll be a place where they are becoming useful and knowing what their purpose in the body of Christ is, so that they would understand his word and understand their giftings. If we will allow God to change our atmosphere, if we will allow him to change us, then he will plant others in our situation with this purpose in mind, that they may see and know and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord has done this. Wouldn't it be great if it wasn't all about us? Wouldn't it be great if God was doing signs and wonders for the purpose of revealing himself to our community, to our government, to our nation, to the people, that it's the hand of God that has done this? Transformation and change doesn't happen all by itself. And it's not change for change's sake. It is change for the glory of the Lord. I'm a big relationship guy. I really am. And so, husbands, what would your homes look like? You know, I always start with the men, because that's where it's supposed to start. We're called to lay down our lives for our families. So what would it look like if God turned the hearts of the fathers to their children? What would it look like if God transformed the men who are listening to this broadcast from being hurting bitter, rejected, oppressive, unforgiving? What would it look like if God transformed us to where we were messengers of his love and our homes were places of safety and the presence of God? Men, let's let God change us. Ladies, I've heard it said that the people who actually are in control of the environment in their house are the ladies. And so I want to encourage you, allow God to change you into a more glorious you. You say, I'm not a horrible person. I'm not a horrible person either. At least I hope not. But I'm not nearly as good as what God can make me into. Let's not settle for good when God can make us great. Let's not settle for safety when God can make us effective. Let's not settle for okay when God wants to make us holy. Let's not settle for lukewarm when God wants to make us refreshing. It all begins with whether or not God can make us into something that is useful in the harvest. If not, I don't even know what would happen if not. The scripture says in Jude that the gospel has been committed once and for all to the saints. Once and for all. There is no backup plan. God's not going to raise up an army of armadillos to carry the gospel. Don't ask me where that analogy came from. I don't know. But I do know this, that his purpose is for Bob Arthurs, who was once an introvert, who was so soft-spoken that and was afraid of rejection that he wouldn't even open up his mouth to talk to somebody, that God now can use us to communicate the good news of Jesus Christ with those whoever we come in contact with. Make sure today that you don't settle, that instead you say, God, today I want to be driven with the purpose of becoming what you want me to be so that I can be a soul winner. The scripture says he who wins souls is wise. I'm looking for Brevard County to be among the wisest places in the United States of America. Father, Lord, I want to thank you. We're not what we were, but Lord, I want to thank you that you can make us more effective, more fruitful in the harvest. God, I pray that you would help us to become better tools to reach the lost. Lord, we're not just going to pray, send forth laborers into the harvest field. Lord, we're going to say, here we are, send us. We want to go. We want to be a part of bringing in your harvest. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Have a marvelous day, and we will see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.